Until 11 and a half months ago, I didn't know that I had sisters. Today they are coming to stay for the first time. I've been up with the sun to get ready. My kids are at school. I love them, but thank fuck, my husband is picking them up after work and taking them to a friend's where they'll stay over. Catherine's? Or is it Camilla's? I lose track of all the married mums who fawn over him. We don't have the room. Plus, my husband embarrasses me with his awkward humor and his tendency to dominate with monologues about whatever is on his mind. When others speak, especially if the speaker is female, he turns up the music or wanders away. Fight or flight, passive aggressive, call it what you want. Whichever you choose, he does this to me a lot. Today, everything must be perfect. Oh, I wish I had a cleaner. Is that anti-feminist of me, or can I still be feminist and want one? It can be a straight white guy, as long as he cleans naked. I won't touch him. Just look. Will he charge extra for that? I better hurry. My middle sister, Maria, arrives at 3.
Babes!
Hello, darling. I bend down to give her 2 kisses, one on each cheek, demonstrating my continentalism. Is this a word? Oversized shades and a large-brimmed hat hide her face. So I improvise and find a spot beneath each earlobe, realizing afterwards, with no dearth of embarrassment, how intimate I've been. I show her where she'll be sleeping. It's our bedroom. Out of politeness, I'm absconding to my 13-year-old's room, plastered with pictures of Lady Gaga and Taylor Swift.
I'll just freshen up, and then I'll come down to help.
Her accent is American, but unlike mine, Latina sounding. She enunciates fast, like a Chopin piano solo. No need. I've got it. You're my guest. Just rest.
True. But you know I can't sit still when there's something to be organized.
I don't point out that... No. I don't know. This is only the second time we've met in person, discounting our many Zoom calls.
My. What a beautiful home.
It isn't, but I am grateful for her politeness and that my cleaning paid off. Why, thank you. Prosecco?
Si. I'll fetch the glasses.
No, you don't. Sit down. I'll get them. I open the cupboard and spot a red stain at eye level. Damn it! I reach for the paper towel, but too late. Maria reaches around to rub it out with her middle finger. I find the sound of a cork popping. My equivalent of New Age music. It relaxes me, knowing that the first drop is about to hit my lips. The glug of Prosecco pouring is my panpipes, its effervescence fizzing the whale sounds for others. Not today. I'll need the entire bottle, or several. Cheers to afternoon drinking.
Salut!
I down it in one, defeating my desire to appear cultured. Her lips purse. She looks like a cat's ass. Another?
No. In case I need to carry you to the beach.
I top my glass to the brim. Good thing you look strong. Do you know the way?
I'll follow the seagulls. So, how much longer until she arrives?
The one thing I have learned about Maria is that she is short on patience, always getting up during our Zoom calls to fetch wine, make coffee, go to the loo. If she were my daughter, I tell her to stop being such a jack-in-the-box. Looking at the time, I'd say an hour, traffic-dependent.
Bueno, did she get an Uber?
No, she took a limo.
A limo?
She pre-booked it from Canada. Maria blinks rapidly. Are your eyes bothering you? I walk to the fridge to get the Optrex. Here you go. She tilts back her head, mouth open wide, reminding me of the fish I used to admire in the aquarium at school. The saline drips, splashing against her eyelashes. As they flutter, a small stream trickles down her face. Better?
Not really. It's just... a limo? Who does she think she is? Madonna?
I say nothing and concentrate instead on my yogic breathing, sans belly extension. Concave is the look I'm going for, not convex. Maria reaches for the Prosecco.
I hope the driver hurries. I want to hit the beach. It's not going to rain, is it?
Several hours pass, during which Maria catches me up on California life, her boyfriend, the nightclub where she sings, and the Mallorca drug trade. Eventually, we run out of topics. I have nothing to add. No one wants to hear how I haven't had sex in 3 years, or slept in 13, due to one child or another keeping me up at night. I admire her shellac nails. Hot pink with a ring on each pinky, each digit edged in diamante. She extends her hand. No wrinkles or age spots, only smooth skin. Don't! I stop her before she touches the Isle of Wight cherry tomatoes from the Araton Valley, roasted with balsamic vinegar and sea salt. Everything must remain perfect.
I'm starving. Just a small bite. Please?
I have been on a diet for 40 days. If anyone is starving, it's me. How did Jesus do it? No, please wait until Marguerite arrives. I have arranged the tapas in tidy circles, coordinated by color with Mom's favorite vase in the middle.
So pretty. I'll put it on Instagram.
How are you going to explain what's in the vase?
No one needs to know. Top up?
I should be looking after you. Let me pour. Oh dear, it's empty.
Darlings!
It's Marguerite, carrying 2 bags of duty-free. Gorge!
Gorge?
Ah, I remember that I sometimes need to translate my English slang. Gorgeous!
Perfect timing. Here, let me help you.
Maria takes the duty-free to the counter. Marguerite looks over my head. Not a struggle, as she is 6 inches taller than me.
Where's your handsome husband?
Out of France, with the kids. He wanted to give us time on our own.
Aw, how considerate of him. Sweet man.
Is he? Once the kids are in bed, I imagine Catherine is preparing a delicious meal for them. A tête-à-tête by candlelight. Straight out of the Nigella Lawson cookbook of seduction, with plenty of wine to lubricate his piston. Or is she married? I can't keep track, as all the women look the same in their sheer workout leggings, arriving at the school gate in identikit black Range Rovers. Do I care? No. Hey, they can have a ménage à trois. Either way, I hope Joe gets his kicks. Someone in this marriage has to. I have a feeling in the pit of my stomach that he'll return tomorrow to a pile of empties. My hangdog face and bird's nest hair. The smell of tonight's wine on my breath. Once the kids are in bed, he'll announce he wants a divorce. Or maybe he'll drop the kids at the door and send his intentions by text, taking the easy way out.
Show me to my room. It's been a long journey. I'd like to freshen up.
I thought you flew first class.
Oui, mon chéri. I've been traveling since yesterday. It's tiring being fabulous.
I pick up her suitcase. Never mind her, mademoiselle. Follow me. I forget how young Marguerite is. 20? 21? Barely out of boarding school in the nether regions of Quebec and, by her telling, educated by nuns with hearts of ice. On our last Zoom call, she surprised us by confessing her desire to remain a virgin. I suspect any day now she will get pregnant and claim it is by divine intervention. As we walk past the mirror, Marguerite's profile shows her resting bitch face I got to know during our Zoom calls. She must have inherited it from her French father. I wish I knew what I inherited from my father. The last day I saw our mother, she was animated, her expression changing from smiling to crying to smiling again in a space of time no longer than it took for me to think these words. Her face was always moving. Marguerite and Maria are as exotic as the places they were born. Me? I'm plain old Mary, the eldest, born in the States. Cedars Sinai, West Hollywood, to be exact. I have an American passport and an accent to prove it. My mother fled her London Irish Catholic family to reinvent herself in Hollywood, US of A. I am the product of the start of my mother's fag hag years. One of her self-proclaimed fags got her pregnant. He did the right thing by her as they got married in Vegas. The only photo I have of either of them is their wedding photo. My mother, 2 months pregnant, is not yet showing. My father, bald at a time it wasn't fashionable, sports a wispy beard. No wonder he was questioning his sexuality. He certainly hadn't followed the West Hollywood style guide for 1984. Until I was 7, it was just me and Mom when, using a lump sum from my dad, she shipped me off to Rodine, an English boarding school for girls in Sussex. Pacific Coast to Atlantic Coast. Forever facing away from my mom. I've been here ever since, having moved just 5 miles west along the shore. My accent makes me a permanent foreigner, which was no fun around the Brexit vote. During my 30 years of living here, I've often thought of getting a voice coach to work with me to change my accent to local with glottal stops or Thames Estuary or RP, but as my income does not meet my aspirations, I tell myself to forget about it. Since her funeral, I've learned that after Mom shipped me off to Sussex, she decided it was time to put her Spanish, picked up in California, to good use. And forgetting about me, she resumed her carefree, childless life in Mexico, where she pretended to be a virgin. She married an aristocrat with a bloodline to the conquistadors, who stood to inherit the family's plantation if he delivered an heir apparent. Maria told me he was a cold man, though his blood ran hot for small, dark men in the barrio. It seems he had a master and servant fetish. Perhaps he still does. My mother, in her mind but not her reality, ever the good convent schoolgirl, felt it was her duty to save him. And the only way to do this was to marry and give his parents a grandson. It was a disappointment to them all when Maria was born. The aristocrat unhappy, his parents blaming her, themselves, their rosary and choice of prayers, their horoscopes, their tarot card readings. In his misery, Maria's father returned to whipping stable boys. They lived on the plantation until she turned 7. Then, just like me, Mom sent her to a boarding school, but this time in California. Here, she stayed for 9 years, perfecting her Baja accent, before leaving without qualifications to follow a barefoot, dreadlocked songwriter to Mallorca. With Maria gone, my mother put her O-level French to use and gave Gay Paris a whirl. And how gay it was. Continuing her predilection for homosexuals, she found a Parisian duke who needed to please his parents with a grandson so he could inherit the ancestral 17th century chateau. Instead, she gave him Marguerite. This happened when I was 16 and Maria 8, but neither of us knew it at the time. Both Maria and Marguerite are Thursday's child, which you will know from the nursery rhyme, has far to go. It's as if our mother knew from the moment of their conception that she would send them far away. Me? I'm Wednesday's child. Full of woe. Thanks, Mom. When we first met in London at Anne's funeral, we noticed that we have her eyes, green, almond-shaped, with long lashes. Irish eyes. We agree this is our favorite feature. Unlike me, both Maria and Marguerite are in touch with their fathers. They have grandparents, cousins, nephews, and nieces. And me? If you ignore my husband, he ignores me, after all. And my children. Marguerite and Maria are all I have. We have a lot of catching up to do. The three of us walk to the beach. Ducklings in a row, one behind the other, in pecking order by age. I lead, wheeling a trolley that holds grill, charcoal, lighter fuel and matches, a cooler full of meat, wine, and, as a welcome to Maria, a Tupperware pitcher of sangria, a picnic blanket, three towels, a windbreaker, and a few other bits and pieces.
How long until we get there?
She wanted to be driven. I said no, as we live only two streets away. Maria wanted to walk in heels. I said no for the same reason.
Did you remember to bring the vase?
Got it!
Maria lifts it high as if it were the World Cup. A couple in their 20s walk past with the dog. The man stares at the vase. The woman's eyes flicker upwards for a moment before stooping to pick up poo. The dog pays her no mind. Careful! I am not sure if I am more concerned that Maria will drop the vase or her phone, knowing how expensive they are. We all wear swimsuits underneath our clothes, despite Maria insisting it was too cold. It's still 22 degrees, and the sun goes down in 2.5 hours.
Exactly. Too cold.
Fine weather means there isn't much space on the beach. We have to walk past four groins before we find a spot. Both Maria and Marguerite laugh at the word, groin. Get your mind out of the gutter. I sound like a mother. Just not ours. When we find a spot, it is next to a group of six boys, all about Marguerite's age. I find their drunken, loud behavior embarrassing.
We have sandy beaches at home, but we get the same crowds as here.
Oh, yeah. English stag doos, Brits abroad, Union Jack and all that.
No, I'm talking about Spanish men. They behave badly, just like Englishmen, but darker and slimmer.
Makes me wonder why we left Europe.
What? Why? What does shared behavior between different countrymen have to do with it?
I forgot Marguerite is reading political science at the University of Montreal. Note to self, no throwaway, ill-informed attempts at witticisms about politics. Do not mention Trudeau.
You are lucky. Mr. Sexy Trudeau is your prime minister.
He's only good for a photo op, and even then, not always. Especially if he's in blackface.
I have nothing to add, so I leave my sisters and go for a swim. I float, letting the waves take me out. I watch as the sun sets, leaving a legacy of pinks and oranges in wide brush strokes across the sky. When I reach the buoy, I turn back towards shore, a slow breaststroke, head up. Shimmering around me, shoals of sprats ruffle the flat sea, mackerel fly past in fast pursuit. I wave at Maria. She waves back. I emerge from the water, less Bond girl, more beached whale. I look down to check, and I am grateful for the small mercy that my strapless one piece, with the elastic stretched to threadbare, has not slipped off. Now gray. I remember when it was black, like my hair. I see my veins, visible through my translucent skin, blue with cold. Maria. Dark mahogany tan, resplendent in a black bikini, has developed a heat rash.
How can this be? I'm freezing! Do you have any cream?
No, don't be such a wuss. I hand Maria a blanket. She wraps it around her shoulders. Where is Marguerite?
Fetching frozen margaritas.
Her words are a sharp melody made by chattering teeth. Marguerite, beautiful olive skin, smooth in a light blue ruched string bikini, barely covering her Brazilian, returns with a big bloke who, at over 6 feet tall, is even taller than her. He's carrying our drinks. A quick glance tells me he spends a lot of time at the gym. If he is local, he is most likely a footballer or a scaffolder.
Darlings, this is Luke.
Luke with a K or a C and no E. I want to make sure I get his name correct in case I bump into him at the Flowerpot Cafe.
It's Lucas, actually.
Lucas, actually. In Hove, actually.
I snort with laughter at my joke. I take a sip of sangria. The bubbles out of my nose. Lucas, Maria, and Marguerite stare. It seems only I find myself funny. Marguerite and Lucas leave Maria and me to watch the anglers. The pissed, loud Englishmen are long gone. A gaggle of teenagers gather by a fire near the groin opposite. They look about 15. I thank my lucky stars I can't hear them. Please, tell me about your boyfriends. Please tell me you're having a lot of sex.
Isn't it a bit early for this?
Ah, the sun's gone down. Don't be such a prude.
I'm still Catholic.
Oh, we're all Catholic. Besides our eyes, that's the only thing we have in common.
Say, look. Are those puppies?
No, foxes. Don't you have them in Mallorca?
I don't know. I don't go into the wild. Why are they here?
They live here. We love our urban foxes.
So cute. Look, they're copulating.
I cover my ears against the vixen's screams. I haven't screamed in a long time. Marguerite returns with a bottle in each hand.
Did you hear that?
What have you got there?
You've been wild. Where's Lucas?
He had to go to a party.
And you didn't go with him?
No, silly. I'm here for my sister.
But you got his number.
Oh, of course.
I will always remember the assured look on her face. We lie on a blanket, our backs against the stones. I try not to worry about rats. I hope the foxes will keep them away.
Do you see that?
Maria points skywards. What?
Las Tres Marias.
Where?
There. Uno, dos, tres.
I squint before realizing it isn't going to help. I don't have a telescope. Do you mean Orion's belt?
That's what you want to call it.
Isn't that what everyone calls it?
No, not in Spanish.
Marguerite passes me a spliff.
Want some?
Fuck yeah. Don't tell Joe.
Who's Joe?
My husband, silly. You asked for him when you first arrived, don't you remember?
I've only met him on Zoom. Handsome.
Oh, you can have him.
Ooh, can I? Are you uncoupling?
No. Neither of you can. I take it back. I take him back.
I bet the sex is good.
One toke and you're already acting inappropriately.
Am I?
Marguerite blows a smoke ring.
Impressive.
You've had 3 children. To prove you've had sex at least that many times.
Let's move on, shall we?
Do you think our mother ever loved us?
That's a bit out of nowhere. No, I don't.
Did she ever visit you at school?
No.
Did she see you on the holidays?
Oui!
That's because you were the youngest. She was too old to have another baby.
Was she too old? She was only 32 when she had me. Well, maybe she loved me the best.
Face it. Anne never loved us. Not really. Not even you. I nod at Marguerite. She only loved herself.
No, that's not...
Of course it is. We never saw her. She never told us about each other. She was busy living her life, reinventing herself with every new man and country. I'm only surprised she didn't change her name to India or Anastasia or Saffron.
I knew her as Anais.
And I knew her as Anna.
The alarm on my Fitbit goes off. 4 a.m. It is the time I get up most days so that I can have the house to myself before everyone wakes at 6:30. The tide is out, leaving miles of sand punctuated with rock pools. Besides the seagulls tapping for worms, we are the only ones left on the beach. It seems I needn't have kicked my family out of the house after all. We stand by the shore. Maria holds the vase. Marguerite pops open the champagne.
If life is a movie, isn't this where we're supposed to drop the vase? Or have her ashes blow back into our faces?
All the better we scatter the ashes now, before the wind picks up. Later today, I can drop the vase off at the charity shop.
What if I want it?
Then you can have it.
Thanks, but I don't.
I raise a toast to our mother. To everything, there is a season. A time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born. A time to die. A time to plant.
Don't interrupt her. I like it.
Maria rubs my back. Though no amount of rubbing will free a genie to grant our wishes. I ran out of wishes the day after I last saw Anne. We continue drinking as we walk into the spring tide towards the buoy. We stop as the water comes just below my waist and Maria's shoulders. There was a red flag on the day our mother swam out. The tide was high, the wind over 40 miles per hour. Why do you think she came here to die? I hear only the gulls overhead. It feels like forever before Maria speaks.
Because she didn't love us enough. Because she didn't want to grow older. Because she was menopausal and depressed about it. Because she noticed she was becoming less attractive to men. Because she felt she was invisible for the first time in her life and didn't like it. Once she was out of her baby-making years, handsome gay men no longer needed her as a beard, because despite having 3 children and 3 grandchildren, she felt lonely.
For a moment, we don't say anything. Our silence louder than the surf. I can't stand it.
How do you know? I think she loved us.
Maybe I let her die. She came to see me. For the first time ever, mind you. I feel my face turn red. I normally turn blue in the water. She met her grandchildren. They were so happy to meet her, though they thought it a little odd.
I mean, who meets their grandchildren only once, and then kills herself? I'd be livid.
Because I am. I say nothing.
I often think that with every new husband, she was trying to reinvent herself and create her image of a perfect family.
What? Despite the cold water, I feel hot. Our mother is the beautiful, ever-youthful, virginal Anne. A gay man only she could save, and a daughter born a disappointment so that she had to ship her far, far away? I'm frankly surprised her husband's names weren't all Joaquin. Jesus, even my husband's name is Joe.
My father's name is Joaquin.
We look out at the sound of a motor, a boat heading towards the first catch of the day. I could have let her stay.
Did she ask to?
No.
See? She came to say goodbye. Did she apologize?
Yes. How did you know?
Because she called us.
To see what?
You're gonna find out things about me.
That I hope you like.
Were we the things? I take the vase and hug it to my chest. The sea glistens in the morning light. I try to steady myself against the gentle pull of the tide. Sand and seaweed squishes around my toes. I tap around in search of solid footing. Is there any hope for us?
Yes. Lots of hope.
An entire lifetime of hope.
We stand together and say nothing. I could stand here forever. A seagull flies low overhead. It shits in my hair. Now seems like a good time.
Uno, dos, tres!
At Maria's count of 3, We each hold our breath and go under the water. I hold the vase. Amrutha's ashes wash away. It's 8 a.m. We're back at my house. Maria is dancing in the lounge. All night long, blares from her phone. Marguerite is curled in the fetal position on the sofa. I have never felt so awake in all my life. And then there is Joe, standing in the middle of the room. He doesn't go to turn the music down. Where are the kids?
Still at their friends.
And you?
Well, I'm here, aren't I?
Joe smiles. It is the same smile he had on the first day we met, all those years ago. He steps forward, his arms open. I link arms with Maria, and we each take his hand. Marguerite rolls over us. We are family, plays. Her three sharp snores keep beat with the chorus.
Anne, written, directed, and produced by Kristen Berniston. Mary, read by Ellie Tipping. Maria, read by Iniki Mariano. Marguerite, read by Florrie Antoniou. Lucas and Joe, read by Theo Greenwood.